Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And we'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. That's a good fade. Let's give something away right now.
Yeah.
Our friends at Jiffy Lube, who sponsor this very program, want to hook you up with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie designed by our guy, Jim. You can't get it anywhere but this contest. So you go to ESPN1320.com. You're going to find the Jiffy Lube contest page. It's front and center. You can't miss it. And today's code word that you're going to enter for a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie is Debo. D-E-E-B-O, Debo.
Debo.
That's for DeMar DeRozan and his 42 points last night, not for Debo Samuel, who has requested a trade from the 49ers.
There we go. Or very Debo from Friday.
Right. Not him.
Yep.
ESPN1320.com. Salute to Jiffy Lube for that gift certificate and the hoodie. Those winners will be announced, or you'll be notified if you're the winner on Friday. You can enter as many times as you want during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll enter, get you a winner on Friday. Goodness gracious. All right. Let's get back into the Kings win over the Mavs, and then we'll talk about some of the ugliness that's happening in Dallas right now. Let's get into James Sam's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Yeah, here they are. James Hamm, number one.
Debo to the rescue. Scored a season-high 42 points on 15 of 22 shooting. Man, DeMar DeRozan was incredible. Absolutely incredible. The way he backpacked the team and his final shot, everything the old man stepped through was just like crazy play to finish the game. Just like super, super impressive game.
That was one of those shots that genuinely, like, every NBA player can probably do in an empty gym.
Mm-hmm.
But not every NBA player is executing that shot when they get doubled on the baseline with the game on the line and just calmly stepping through and cashing the like 11-foot floater.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Just incredible shot making.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the NBA is the best league in the world. It was, I don't, like, the 42 points is amazing, and we know DeMar DeRozan in big spots is a guy you want with the ball in his hands and this and that. But when he got doubled on the baseline, I was like, oh, man, he's going to force up a bad shot. Like, oh, man. And then, like, nope, easy step through, easy bucket. It was great.
Yeah, the patience he plays with is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, okay, you got to move it. But yeah. In that situation, it's like, okay, that was the play. I was surprised someone didn't, like, cut towards him so he could get a ball. But you could see the bigs lined up. Sabonis and Trey Lyles had walled off the mm-hmm. key, and they were ready in case the ball went long. Like,
right.
they were ready for whatever happened there, hoping that he would at least come close to the rim. But, man, what a shot. Just crazy.
Not a travel.
No.
Pivoted and then stepped through and shot it.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a travel.
Yeah.
He picked up his dribble. Like, you could see maybe, I mean, the last two-minute report hasn't come out for last night's game, I don't believe. And I would have to look to see if they thought it was a travel. But
if they
I don't
think that's
so.
A travel, they can go to hell.
Yeah.
Anyways, number two. DeMar DeRozan was amazing. That's why he's the code word today.
Yeah. Malik Monk set up his teammates early. I thought, like, early on, the Kings, first of all, they kept turning the ball over like crazy. And Monk wasn't part of that. I think he finished with two or three turnovers. But he had eight assists early. And then when the overtime session hit, he just fully came alive. And he had 8 points in the overtime session. He was the reason why they were in a position mm-hmm. for Debo to hit the final shot. He had the rebound that he, you know, the offensive rebound that he went and grabbed. I just thought he was absolutely tremendous in the overtime session. I was wondering why he wasn't so aggressive early in the game. But, like, look, sometimes that's the way it goes. 17 points, 8 assists. Not a great shooting night or anything else, but, you know, sometimes it's just about putting the ball in the basket when you need it.
When Malik Monk is setting up his teammates, the Kings offense is at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah.
If there's a version of the Kings offense that doesn't have Malik Monk orchestrating things and running things and organizing things, getting in the two-man game with Domantas Sabonis, touching the paint and spraying out for threes, it's not an offense that I think the Kings need to be a part of.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he did have four turnovers, my bad. But again, it was just a performance where, like, you need to get the ball in his hands and you need him to orchestrate that two-man game again and again and again with Sabonis.
Yep. I want to, real quick, before we move to number three, I want to get something real quick. Malik Monk now has 15 games with 8 or more assists this year, and the Kings are 11-4 when he has 8 or more assists.
Okay. It's a good stat, Kyle.
I'm going to dive deeper into that a little bit later, but number three.
Number three. Sabonis missed out on All-Star bid again. I think we'll get into that here in a minute.
Yeah.
He was passed over once again. He finished with 16, 15, and 8. Again, the 8 assists is something that I need to see more of from him. For whatever reason, they've gone away from letting him control the offense. But, you know, again, 16 points, 15 rebounds. He's not shooting enough consistently. Again, in this one, he was only 7 of 10. He didn't take a 3, which I thought was interesting. Although, once Gafford got hurt and they didn't have a big man to go, you know, like they were guarding him with much smaller players, which just didn't allow him the space to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. And that made sense to me. But overall, I thought it was a very, very high quality game. I don't know how many double doubles he has at this point in the season. I think he's missed a double double 3 times and that's it.
I'd like to see him have 30 in that game.
Yeah.
Like get his ass on the block, get him the basketball and let him cook. Kessler Edwards or Najee Marshall or whoever is guarding him. I would like to see them do that more often. The 16, 15, and 8 is great. But that's the point where, like, hey, this is an all-star. This is an all-NBA guy. Let him score the basketball.
I agree. I would say in this game, if you, like, while you're watching it play out, they were throwing a bunch of different guys. Like when you're not playing with big men, right? Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of 6'6", 6'5" guys that are running all over the court and getting in passing lanes. I know like Keon Ellis kept trying to feed Sabonis and kept getting the ball turned, passing it to the other team. I think Dallas did a good job of limiting his touches in the key. And even when he did get the ball, look, 8 assists is good. I want to see him move the ball if it leads to easy buckets for his teammates. So I want to see him have 20, 25 points in a game like that. But sometimes that's not what the defense is sort of showing you.
Mm. Number four.
The Keegan Murray thing is just baffling. And at this point, I'm really...
Is it though?
I think we're just to the point where it is who he is.
This is just him.
Yeah.
It's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. And I mean, it's frustrating, but to watch him like not take a single shot in the first half and then come out in the third quarter and just be like, oh, I'm the man. And you're like, where were you for 24 minutes? Like, where were you? He scores 11 points and then boom, poof.
Vanishes again. I'm not inside Keegan's head, so I don't know. But I imagine it's not helpful when the team's solution to everything is to just throw more offense at it.
Yeah.
When, hey, you're supposed to be the guy. You're going to grow in this offense and this and that. Here's DeMar DeRozan. Oh, here's Zach LaVine. I get why he would be like, this is not my job here. Someone else do it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times where he takes over for 8 or 10 minutes or whatever. And we're going to go, oh, wow, wait, we need that Keegan. We're not going to get it. He's almost 25. It's who he is.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked anymore when Keegan does this. He's a really good player. Really, really good player. He's just, I'm done waiting for the, hey, when are we going to get this consistently? We're not.
Nope.
It's just, it's what he is going to be an awesome NBA player for a long time. I think that leap into all NBA, all-star, Kawhi Leonard comp, it's not coming.
Yeah, I'm with you. And realistically, I think it comes down to personality.
Yeah.
And as much as anything else, it's that it's not who he is to be like a me guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NBA, the me guys are who get paid, and they're the guys who get all the shots.
Yep.
And they're the guys who have the leeway to do whatever they want. And if you're not that guy, you're a really, really good role player.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that the leap is ever coming. And I would love to say he's getting back to where he was last year at 15 points a game and everything else. But, man, he is the number five option on in their starting unit. And when that's where you end up becoming, it's a problem. And yep. I don't know that we're ever going to see him elevate that again. And maybe, but it's kind of a bummer.
If it happens, I'll gladly be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not,
I hope it does happen.
On it.
But yeah, I'm with you.
I can't count. What are we on? Five?
Five.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, get me past three and I'm dicey.
Yeah, LaVine went to the cup. For right now, whatever is happening, you can't hit a three. And I mean, he's shooting, what is it, 19 point something percent with the game?
19.2.
He was 1 of 6 last night. He cannot hit a three. And the one three that he did have was like, hey, that's great. But then he pulled off for another one that looked just like that one. And
well,
missed.
He checked.
Yeah, and wasn't even remotely close. Like 8 of 18 from the field. He needs to, you know, fix that a little bit. He came in as a 51.1% field goal percentage guy in Chicago. That's not who he's been so far. He's been inefficient, but he's learning. He's trying to figure things out. You know, the 5 turnovers were not good. 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 17 points on the night. Again, I think the best part is that he started playing off ball more. And the alley-oops, the takes to the basket, that's where he needs to live. Man, he is so smooth going to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just absolutely crazy.
As an offensive player, he is dynamite to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, like I said earlier, I'm not sitting here concerned that he's going to shoot 20% during his Kings tenure from three. That'll come back eventually, and he'll have a game here where he goes 7 of 13, and everything will look normal again.
No, I totally agree.
Number six,
Keon Ellis and Jonas Valanciunas are like super fun. I enjoy watching those two for whatever reason. Like the second unit for this team, it hasn't been any fun since Malik Monk went into the starting unit.
Can I say something kind of mean?
Yeah,
because they haven't had good enough players to be fun coming off the bench.
They haven't.
Like it's just Trey Lyles is not going to be a fun guy. Sorry, Jonas Valanciunas can be though. Keon Ellis can be though.
Yeah,
and now Trey Lyles is your eighth guy, ninth guy.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is good. Jake Laravia is your eighth guy. Okay, now this is fun.
Well, him and like Trey and Jake are like fighting over who's the 8-9 guy, pretty much, and that's fine. But watching like Jonas just be bigger and stronger than everybody else is fun. Watching Keon Ellis just go out there and be like a harbinger of chaos, like he's all over the court. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm digging watching the second unit. I don't care that they got outscored by a bajillion, because to be honest with you, the Kings starters outscored their starters by 3 million points too. And so I'm okay. You just want productivity from these guys. And, you know, the 8.6 rebounds for Keon, he didn't have a steal, which is wild. And his 2 turnovers were both entry passes. He's got to get better at that. But then the 13 points and 8 rebounds from Valanciunas, including 6 offensive boards, like he's just a bear. And, you know, I think the Kings they struck a little gold here with that combination of those two.
I think I have this right. The Mavs bench outscored the Kings 64-26, which means the Kings starters outscored the Mavs starters 103-64.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's why it's like you want to say, oh, the bench, they got outscored by so much. It's like, yeah, but their bench was playing. And Gafford went out of the game. So, like, Olivier Max and Prosper had to jump in and, you know.
Hey, Max Christie's a hooper, by the way.
He is a hooper.
Max Christie, I was down on Max Christie to start the year. I thought that contract for him was crazy from the Lakers. He's a good player.
Yep.
Also, real quick, we have like 30 seconds. Yes or no? Does Kessler Edwards' career with the Kings go differently if he gets here while Doug Christie's the head coach?
No.
Okay.
He is who he is. We do have Mark Jones in the chat today.
Mark Jones is in the chat?
He is in the chat.
Like actual Mark Jones?
And it is the Mark Jones. He's at 35,000 feet and just hit me and said, hey, I'm in the chat.
Hey, salute. That's awesome. Shout out to Mark Jones. All right. And on that note, on the radio side, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back. We'll talk about Domantas Sabonis not making the All-Star team and the insane things that are going on in Dallas right now that go outside of the basketball court. That's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have the wrong rundown in front of me.
Uh-oh. Is some random rundown?
I was looking at keys to last night's game.
Oh. Well, what were our keys to last night's game?
Our keys to last night's game. Stand by. No, I don't have the correct part of yesterday's rundown.
Oh, you don't even have that.
I was looking at the first little pregame segment. Hey, here we go.
Here we go.
You had take advantage of a wounded team.
Okay.
Okay.
Didn't really happen.
Continue to build chemistry.
I think that did happen.
Yeah, yeah. Don't coast into the All-Star break. Definitely didn't coast last night.
No.
They wanted to coast last night. They could have lost by 20.
Well, that, and I think that there's a big difference between squeaking out a win and looking like you're coasting or something.
Yeah.
I thought the Kings were fighting, but they're fighting against a lot of things right now. Like, they're trying to build chemistry, and sometimes that means that your defensive rotations are going to be bad, or your switches are going to be bad, or the ball gets sticky, or the ball doesn't rotate enough, or guys take shots too early in the shot clock, things like that. Like, you're just battling a lot of things because you haven't had time on the court together. You haven't had practice time. So I think that, again, a win is a win in this situation until you get through the All-Star break and you have some time to really, like, you know, kind of simmer in the pot a little bit.
Yeah. My first one was recognize the hot guy. And that was Kyrie Irving last night, especially down the stretch. And that's something the Kings have done really well in these games. Brooklyn, Golden State, this version of Dallas, where there's a clear, this guy is going to kill you if you don't get the ball out of his hands. And the Kings late in that game, were just doubling Kyrie, making him give up the ball and saying, anyone else go make a play. Go ahead, Dante Exum. You can shoot that. All right, Clay, put the ball on the deck. Go ahead and go try and make a play. And I think that's great. They've done a really nice job of that.
There's something that happened like at the very, very end of the game that I want to point out. So DeMar DeRozan hits a shot, right? He hits the crazy shot. And I watched him like, what exactly happened there? Because my thought is if you've got, I think they had 3.5 seconds left or something, but no timeouts. If you're going to inbound the ball right there, I want it in Kyrie's hands.
The Mavericks?
Yes.
At the end of OT?
The end of OT. So
there's 1.8 left.
1.8 left. But either way, I want that 1.8 seconds, I want the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands. Zach LaVine thought the same exact thing, raced all the way across the court and sprinted and cut off the pass to Kyrie. So they had to throw it to Najee Marshall. Right, I think that's who took
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie,
yeah,
who took the
who went just full ran NFL over Malik running back.
Monk. Yeah, but the fact
good
that,
tough yardage by Dinwiddie.
No, it was, but the fact that LaVine had the presence of mind to run over and take away LaVine in a pressure
Kyrie,
to take away Kyrie and make somebody else beat them. Yeah. To me, that was a big play.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of hate what Dinwiddie did, by the way. Trying to draw a foul. I get why he did it.
Yeah.
Throw a shot up. Throw a shot at the basket.
Yeah, that was weird.
Just run into the guy in front of you.
Yep.
Catch an offensive foul.
Totally. And
that was insane.
Mark Jones brings something up here in the chat that I think it's really important. That Jake LaRavia told him in Memphis, defensively, they force middle. In Sacramento, they force baseline. That's because in Memphis, they force middle because they have
Jaren Jackson
and Zach Edey.
And Jay Huff.
Yeah, and Jay Huff waiting to build wooden furniture. And in Sacramento, they force baseline, and it's something that he's learning, and it might take a few games. That's important because LaRavia is one of three players playing top eight rotational minutes,
mm-hmm.
of top nine rotational minutes. And that means that every player that comes to Sacramento in that trade, they have these little things that are happening they're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's, again, Zach LaVine learning that exact thing, like, where is your help coming from as a defender?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we can talk about whether Zach has like a high defensive acumen as it is, but when you put him in a new system, all of a sudden there are things that he's just like, mm-hmm. fundamental things that if he's not doing that look really, really bad,
yep.
because you're leaving your teammates out to dry. And again, it's why I personally believe why Sabonis is fouled out of one game, had five fouls in another. It's why Jonas Valanciunas mm-hmm. Fouled out of the game last night. It's because of these little tiny mistakes that are being made by the other players around you that cause a player like Valanciunas to get in foul trouble or Sabonis to get in foul trouble.
Yep. My other two keys last night, one of them was go at Gafford. They didn't do that, and then he got hurt. Because he fouls a lot was the premise there.
Yeah.
And then get in the mid-range. I'm going to count that one as a W because DeMar DeRozan was awesome last night.
Oh, yeah. He was absolutely spectacular. That was a good one there.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like, he just lived in the mid-range.
Yeah, man. And that's what the Mavs do such a great job of is protecting the rim and
running you off the line.
Running you off the three-point line and defending the three-point line. So,
yep.
Good on the Kings last night. It was a nice win for them. Did you see the video of the Mavs fan getting ejected?
Yes.
Because they said, fire Nico, or they didn't say it. They probably said it, but you could read their lips on the Jumbotron saying, fire Nico.
Yeah, they were doing like your standard pan around the crowd and like zoom in on somebody's face in the crowd. And a hefty dude says, fire Nico, which, again, they have protests outside the stadium right now.
They are holding mock funerals.
Mock funerals. Someone brought in a coffin.
They brought a coffin. Hang on. I want to pause on that real quick. Do you think they bought a coffin for this bit? Or do you think they had an extra one laying around?
No,
I have so many more questions.
I do believe that someone said the guy had it, like he had it. Like he bought it on Amazon or something delivered. It was delivered quickly and they were like, you got the one day delivery. I don't know. All I'm saying is that like the things that are going on outside that building are crazy. And then to pull the guy out of the crowd and kick him out of the game. Man, I mean, like talk about setting yourself up. For a lawsuit,
I'm going to assume it was, I'm sorry, I'm so stuck on the coffin now.
Yes.
I'm assuming it was like a mock coffin, right? Like a prop one.
I don't know.
Because you can get a prop coffin for like $43. If you want a real one, you're out $1,500, my guy.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing it was a prop coffin. Anyways, that is, there's a real chance that this gets really ugly in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got fans protesting.
I mean, Nico's had death threats.
Nico Harrison did not even come out when they introduced Anthony Davis at his presser. Nico Harrison was not there. Did not do the presser.
Wow.
They've got people being ejected for saying fire Nico. And like, you can't do that, dude. You cannot do that unless, and I'm not going to dive all the way into this conspiracy theory, but there's a conspiracy theory, and I don't even know if it's a conspiracy. There's a theory that Miriam Adelson, who now owns the majority stake in the Mavericks, wanted to build, and Sheldon Adelson, right?
Yeah.
The Adelsons wanted to build a new arena in Dallas with a casino attached because they made all their money in casinos. So they wanted to build a stadium with a casino attached. They got told they're not allowed to do that. And again, there's much more to this, but the punchline here is that they're tanking the Mavs so they can move the Mavericks to Vegas where they can build an arena with a casino attached.
That's the theory.
And step one of that was, okay, cool, here, we're going to trade Luka.
Burn it down.
And now they're ejecting fans for saying fire the GM on a Jumbotron.
To me, like, you're going to get sued. Like, I hope somebody is picked up, like, called that guy and is suing that and is going to take his case on contingency or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have no rights. And not only that, but it's caught on TV. And it's now all over the... So, like, there are damages.
Right.
Like, to his reputation, to who he is as a person. So, like, hey... Like, as somebody, like, that's just not okay. And
it's so whack, dude. That just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's part of sports, man. Can you imagine if every anti-Monty McNair sentiment that came out over the last couple of weeks that got said at Golden One Center got you ejected? You'd be playing in front of a group of, like, six.
What about the brown paper bag people that put bags
right,
on their
are we
heads?
Ejecting them?
Yeah, like, where do we stop?
People with signs, are we ejecting them?
Yeah.
Didn't the Kings do that with the Maloofs? You couldn't have an anti-Maloof sign? I saw that on the internet last night. That might have been fake.
It's possible that you couldn't have anti-Maloof signs. Like, I know, like, during the Here We Stay movement, it was all positive signs for the most part.
Right.
Stay in Sacramento,
right.
You know, like small market, big heart, all that stuff. All of those were they were born out of, like, a positivity that a guy in Stockton said, "Hey, mm-hmm. I got a bunch of poster board here. I work at a place that we do posters, and I have a whole bunch of extras.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a bunch of signs?" And like people are like, "Yeah, that's fine.
Drop them off."
Yeah.
Fascinated to see what winds up happening here in Dallas, because I don't think it's going to get a lot better anytime soon, especially if they start losing games.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, you traded a superstar. I think it's intriguing.
Here are the top two headlines on ESPN this morning. Number one, these are the top headlines. Number one, Luka wins in LA debut as nerves give way to fun. The headline right below it, directly below it.
Mm-hmm.
Amid trade angst, fans ejected from Mavs loss. The juxtaposition there is insane. And all they had to do was not trade Luka. That's it. That's all it took. Not giving away. I shouldn't say give away because that's disrespectful to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is an incredible player, and we saw it in his Mavs debut. But he's also injury prone. And they got one pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
They ostensibly gave him away. Like, you're going to get people who are mad. And the fact that they did that and didn't think that there would be outrage against it, that they weren't prepared for this, that they didn't go, hey, fans are going to be a little upset, so maybe don't do the crowd panning for the Jumbotron. Let's find something else to do.
Yeah, that's a tough look.
Yeah. And then to eject them? What are you doing?
I know.
The vibes are so bad. The vibes are terrible for Dallas right now.
I know one time in... at Golden One, when the crowds had waned greatly a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
they started doing a sneaker cam. And
where is this?
At Golden One.
Okay.
So, but I made the comment on Twitter that the sneaker cam is cool and all, but it just shows you that there's no one sitting in the seat in front of you because everybody just put their shoes up on the seat in front of you. That was the last time the sneaker cam ever happened. My bad. Sorry, whoever's idea that was.
It's a good idea. It's a genuinely good idea, but it's born out of exactly what you said.
But, like, you just, like, what do you... You can't see sneakers when everyone's feet are on the ground.
I was wondering, because that's what I was like, so did people stand up and, like, show off their shoes?
No, they just put them on the empty seat in front of them, and it was like, oh, that's a bad idea.
Fair or foul on that? Putting your feet up on the seat in front of you?
Well, if there's no one there...
I feel like in a basketball arena, because it's like a fabric type of seat.
I don't know. They're mostly plastic, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think I would put my feet up.
If they're plastic, then yeah. In my brain, there was like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a padding on it.
Yeah. Well, just like a cushion on the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think most of the arena seats are...
Just like, all plastic?
Yeah, it's all
okay,
plastic.
Okay, well, never mind. That's fair then.
Mark Jones says we got to read more tea leaves on Luka. Yeah, I know there are plenty of tea leaf reading on Luka, like, but at the same time, you traded a number one. And
so here, this is, go ahead, sorry.
Well, like, we're not seeing the same outrage in Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox, which is, to be honest, like, slightly confusing why you're seeing guys buying coffins and bringing out signs, but we're not, for Luka, but we're not seeing that at all in Sacramento. And I think part of it might be because we had like a buildup to it. And it wasn't just so sudden. There was,
that's it.
Yeah, there was this huge buildup to it, like over a week and a half where things had gone south, over, maybe even a month and a half.
Over a week and a half when things got very real, but it has been a discussion point. It's been floated. For whatever reason, we know he didn't sign his contract because he wanted the Supermax. He wanted to wait to try and make All-NBA to get a Supermax. Like, that's why. But nationally, it was, hey, De'Aaron Fox might ask out. He didn't sign that contract. He might ask out. What did Evan Turner say? He went, $50 million ain't enough. He did his little voice.
That's funny.
So, like, that's been a thing. So, I think it's been, like, in the universe for a while.
Well, I get that. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you're comparing Fox and Luka.
No.
Man, no, not as, like, Luka's a much, much better player, but that doesn't change the fact that Fox was the face of the franchise for the last 7.5 years.
Mm-hmm. But Luka also took them to the finals last year.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere gets traded for a 32-year-old who's hurt a lot and one first-round pick. And the explanation is more or less like, we don't think he can stay in shape. We're worried about his ability to continue carrying us to the finals. And the response is like, he just did it.
Yeah.
So what, and maybe it works out. Maybe it turns into like a Joel Embiid situation where Joel Embiid just is constantly just can't. I saw the news the other day. He's going to have another surgery this offseason. And it's just a constant battle all the time. And maybe it turns out like that. And maybe the Mavs in 10 years are going to be like, wow, geniuses. Like, wow, what an amazing move for the Mavs. They got out from under Luka Doncic.
Yeah, but I think
right now.
Yeah. And then, of course, really AD goes out in his first game and trashes adductor.
Yeah, and he was so good. He was so good when he played. He was 27, 16, 5-3, I think the stat line was. He's just amazing. And then he gets banged up.
That's a good point. Ian Kinzel in the chat, there's more of a split sentiment on who's to blame. Blame the front office or blame Fox. And with the Luka trade, nobody's blaming Luka.
Except for the Mavs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think what you said is hitting the nail on the head. If the Mavs had floated, if internally, if Nico Harrison was just like, dude, it is never going to work out with Luka. This is not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get in front of that a little bit and start trying to like drop breadcrumbs about that. But just to have right before the deadline, or I guess what was it 4 days before the deadline? Just, hey, Luka got traded, by the way. It's like, whoa.
I told you.
And then have him come out and be like, yeah, it wasn't tenable. We weren't going to, there was no.
I was at a dinner with, God. Like, there were 16 of us and at a friend's house, and like, boom, it hits. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I show it around, and everyone around the table, like men, women, everyone's like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Like, how in the Luka? How does that happen?
It just felt
crazy,
and it was what, because the Mavs just felt incomplete last night.
Mm-hmm.
Watching them felt weird. It felt like watching a team during preseason. I could just even if Luka had been hurt, right? Like, he hadn't been playing because he was banged up, but still, he's just gone, no longer part of that organization.
Wild,
tough. Tough to recapture those vibes for sure.
Time to bring in a coffin.
The Kings took advantage last night with a 129-128 overtime win behind 42 points from DeMar DeRozan. I almost said Debo Samuel. That is not correct. From 42 points from DeMar DeRozan. We'll have Damian Barling, I believe, in for the handoff next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, and Damian Barling. Damian's here because it's time for the handoff. which, why do I not? Did someone get rid of my rejoins?
Uh-oh.
If that happened, it was Jesse.
Oh.
Oh, I'm about to be salty. I have a whole, like, intro for the handoff. Have you heard yours yet?
I have not. I've heard Jesse's repeatedly, but I have not heard mine.
I think we should hear Jesse's
again.
Okay.
They changed it. All right, here we go. Here's the Damian Barlang handoff intro.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barlang.
Well, that's very sensible.
Yeah, fine. He changed all of them to that.
Oh, okay.
Yours used to say, like, taking it inside or something.
All right.
Not taking it up the middle.
Well, not taking it right up the middle, which is crazy.
You can't put Charlie in charge of everything.
No, it's fine. I know. Right. He's got a lot going on. Damian Barling's here.
He clearly operates on a maturity level that we don't.
He's an adult.
Never, right.
He approaches his job like a job.
He's a normal functioning human being who hasn't spent too much of his time with us, thank God.
Well, I need to take care of some business real quick on the Oak Grove Kia talk line. Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, can you give us a call back tomorrow, buddy?
Not a problem.
All right, thanks.
I don't want to interrupt Damon's free speech.
Well, enjoy. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate you, my friend. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Did he say your free speech?
I believe that's what he said.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, okay. Can we do one other thing?
Shout out to Mitch for upholding the First Amendment.
There
go
it
ahead,
is.
James.
We did a contest all last week with Strelitzia Flower Company in Davis, California. Absolutely spectacular. We have winners, Jeffrey in Sacramento, Benjamin in Sacramento,
yep,
Bryce in West Sacramento.
Hey, shout out to Bryce. Bryce.
Milan in Sacramento. And Wesley in Sacramento, you guys are all winners, and you should already have received your stuff. And if not, it'll be there by tomorrow. And for those of you who still need to go buy flowers for your significant other,
no.
Go to StrelitziaFlowerCompany.com. There's actually a button right on the ESPN.com, ESPN 1320 page, and use the code RADIO224 to get $10 off any purchase of $100 or more.
Well, it's going to cost more than $100, so give me the website again.
Strelitzia Flower Company.
Yeah, that's a kid.
S-T-R-E.
Oh, really? S-T-R-E.
L-I-T.
L-I-T.
I-Z-A?
Z-I-A.
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 Flower Company.
Flower. Oh, yeah, we in business. Yeah, boy, we in business. Let's get some flowers.
Radio 224.
Radio 224. Oh, these are gorgeous.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Hey, we have breaking news right now.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
According to Sham Sharania, the Toronto Raptors have agreed to a 3-year, $120 million extension with Brandon Ingram.
Oh, you had to know that was coming, right? Like, when they executed that deal.
Yeah, they weren't letting him hit free.
It had to be with the idea of they think that BI can be a part of what they're doing. Give me that was 3-120, you said?
3-120.
So that's 40. Yes, that's 40 a year. Yeah.
It's about what you expected him to
do. Salute to Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. I think there were some people confused by that. I was like, I actually think this is a long-term play by Toronto. We knew headed into next year, Toronto was one of the teams that had money.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like when that deal was done, which given the chaotic nature of the trade deadline, that one kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah.
When Luka Doncic just traded, Brandon Ingram's deal is going to fly under the radar. But I thought it made total sense. And I thought, Toronto's probably signing him to there was probably the understanding he's coming over here and signing a, you know, 2 or 3 year contract extension, which.
Like the fresh start for him, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really only a 3-year $60 million because it's in Canada. So they take half your money. It's good.
Well, everywhere takes half your money. California takes half your money.
Mm-hmm. Texas, not so much.
Well, Texas, not so much. You're trading your soul to live in Texas.
Well, let's talk about literally anything else. no, but it was Luka, and then all the KD trade rumors, and then Jimmy Butler gets dealt.
De'Aaron Fox is a big deal.
De'Aaron Fox, that whole ordeal.
De'Aaron Fox, Gilgeous Alexander all of a sudden. Jesus Christ, you've got to be kidding me. Is this serious?
18 free throw attempts.
Is this serious?
Yeah.
Dude leaves Sacramento and shoots 18. I guarantee you there are weeks that that man didn't shoot 18 free throws.
Well, multiple. Multiple.
18 in a game?
Yeah.
Well, hey, when you get to when you get to a market like San Antonio, you're just going to start getting whistles, you know.
Well, when you get when you get there to be, you know, your Wemby's, you know, little homie, you got to be taken care of. I don't mean that as a slight to De'Aaron, but that's Wemby's team. Oh, we got to take care of the guy here.
I sent Kyle a text last night. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if De'Aaron averaged 30 a game the rest of the season, made all NBA, but wasn't eligible for the Supermax?
Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be kind of funny.
De'Aaron, in his final six games with the Kings, shot 19 total free throws.
Final six games. Wow.
He did not have a two-game stretch this year where he shot 18.
Amazing.
No, that's wrong. He had a two-game stretch where he shot 22.
Okay.
Okay.
Back in November. And another one where he shot 30.
Well, I feel better.
Yeah, he had a 19 free throw game against Utah.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. It's great.
Is there a consensus on where people are at with De'Aaron?
What do you mean?
Are people rooting for him? Is it he can go to heck?
Oh, no, I don't think that. I think people want De'Aaron to do well. I don't think there's any. There is some ill will. I don't think it's anything crazy. But
are we booing him on March 7th?
That's just a stunt. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, no, not. I mean, after the introductions, you are.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, introductions.
He needs to hold him out.
You think he gets booed?
No, not during the introductions.
Okay.
Once the game starts, I don't think he even gets booed during the game.
Does he get a tribute video?
It becomes a game. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he gets a tribute video.
Yeah, as he should.
He absolutely should. It'd be a massive mistake if he did.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm glad it's this year. You just get it over with. It's fine. Just get it over with.
It's next month.
Yeah. It's the night before the Mary J. Blige concert. It's an amazing two-day stretch.
That's why I remember when it is.
March 7th, March 8th. It's an amazing two-day stretch.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
Be in there,
Mary J. Neo. Mary. Oh yeah, I can't. I cannot wait.
Neo too.
Yeah. Pull up. Let's go.
I kind of want to
double date.
I kind of want to.
Come on, man.
All right, I gotta check the calendar.
Let's go. Well, it's March 8th. It's the day after the De'Aaron Fox.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I literally. This is not doing a bit. I have plans.
Damn.
I'm going to a Sharks game.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm doing the most opposite thing in the world that you can do.
Yep. That's
I'm going to a Mary J. Blige concert. Did last night's win move the needle for you at all in terms of being optimistic about the Kings?
No.
This year?
Uh-uh. It did not. Last night was actually, and I have to say this because there's receipts, TK's with us at 2 o'clock.
Trista Crick.
I had text her. She was like, this game's a lot of fun. I was like, I'm losing confidence in this team. Like they had already gone down, I think it was 12. Maybe at the time of the exchange, they were down like 6 or 8 or something like that. And I just was like, I'm losing confidence in this. Like like Zach LaVine is, we'll talk about that. I need to see something from Zach LaVine. Like he was invisible the entire fourth quarter in overtime. Like you can't be that. Like even though you've got DeMar out there doing what he does, even though you got Malik out there doing what he did in overtime, you can't be invisible. And I was really frustrated. I love the Sabonis Valanciunas lineup. That was a lot of fun. But no, I'm glad they won.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely.
Of course, I mean
that's a hard fought, you know, puff your chest out a little bit victory. That's tough. You're dealing with probably the most emotional team in the league right now, who's desperate. They desperately needed a win in their building, and they had it. And you took it from them. Like, you just snatched it right from them. And they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy about last night's game. I'm happy about last night's win. I'll celebrate it. But, like, it didn't – I'm not – I don't feel great yet.
Yeah.
And truth be told, I don't care how bad the Pelicans are. I'll feel great if they get the next two.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see them do. Win the next two games. Beat a 12-win basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Headed into the All-Star break. And then – kind of regroup and figure out what you're doing moving forward.
Got to go 19-10 the rest of the way to get to 46 wins.
Okay. I mean, that's the – I'm not good at math, but that's not terribly off the clip at which Doug Christie is winning right now, right? It's in my notes. What's the number? Does anyone know?
I don't.
I want to say 14 and 8.
I was going to say 15 and 8, but maybe it's 14 and 8.
Okay, so right in that range.
Yeah, yeah, it's right around that.
All right. Well, hopefully we can figure it out during D'Lo and KC because we got to.
Well, we definitely can because it's in my notes somewhere.
Okay, great. It was
14 and 8.
Find out the answer. Ah, dang.
Well, don't tune in now.
Tease, yeah, just
James kills the tease.
Cut the radio off. Cut
Mr.
YouTube
journalist
off.
Over here. Just forget it.
D'Lo and KC coming up next here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice to people. See you.